Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 229 on December 14th, 2018. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you'd like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the Become a Patron button on my website. Another way to support my work is through enticeme.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. EnticeMe offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Just go to enticeme.com, #rubyrider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RYDER, R-Y-D-E-R. If you'd like assistance figuring out exactly which pegging equipment is the best choice for you and your partner, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of EnticeMe. You will be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. Hey, everybody. Whoa, this podcast is late, right? Yeah, well, I got a story behind that. But first, let's do a patron update. We have a couple of one-time donations. Marty gave me a generous donation of $20. Thank you so much, Marty. I really appreciate your generosity and your support. And Tracy, I lost you in the shuffle somewhere. Tracy gave me a $5 one-time donation. Thank you so much. That was back in November, and I missed that one. I was checking out my donations and my PayPal receipts and things and found that one. So Tracy, thank you so much. Really appreciate the donation. So, okay, what the hell's going on that Ruby hasn't gotten the podcast out in a timely manner? You know, occasionally things happen, you know that, like the fire and stuff like that. And one time I was depressed. Well, this one is all about censorship. Yes, indeed. This one is all about censorship. So I wrote something that I'm going to read to you. And usually I have a document that I put my notes on for the podcast, but this kind of intersects with the piece that I was going to write and put up on my blog. So the first thing I'm going to do is just read that to you. And this was a piece that I actually started back when Patreon did their censorship deal, and I was working through all of that. I started writing down all my feelings about that, and also my feelings of just basically what it's like to be a sex educator. And I know I spoke to this somewhat on the podcast back when I was talking about the Patreon stuff, but when I went back and checked out what I wrote, there's some great stuff in there that absolutely applies to what's happening right now. Because as many of you know, and maybe perhaps some of you don't know, the censorship hammer is coming down hard right now. Tumblr announced no more adult content. Facebook announced a new definition of what they would enforce and take off and which were not permitted things on Facebook. Yeah, it's coming down again. So let me just read this to you. As a sex educator, I feel a constant dichotomy. Sure, it feels great to be out with my sexual desires. I enjoy a freedom of expression that too few allow themselves. Most people walk around in this world so constrained by the shoulds. Beautiful and unique parts get hidden away for fear of what others may think. The sadness and pain this brings is incalculable. The frustration, lack of fulfillment, shame, and simple avoidance of being exactly who we are can be emotionally crippling. In my particular field, it feels absolutely amazing to help people let go of shame and embrace their desires. My heart is often filled to the brim when I read emails from people who have traveled down that path of releasing the shame and owning their sexual interests. I hear stories of healing, stories of relationships revived and deepened, and stories of self-exploration and the confidence it brings. We all crave acceptance without judgment, especially around sexuality. Some people seek out or stumble upon the right resources. Whether it's erotica, a specific sex educator, a phone sex operator, a sex worker, or any of many other sex-positive professions, they find solace and acceptance there. Expression, finally, of those hidden parts they never dared to let out to anyone. Reassurance that they are good and worthy human beings, despite not fitting in society's box. The people who find my work tell me about the delight and excitement of exploring parts of their sexuality that they had previously only fantasized about. The stories are touching, poignant, and real. They sustain me and let me know I am on the right path. I don't feel constrained by the shoulds. No one's going to get offended if I talk about sex or masturbation or kink because that's my job. The freedom feels good. Not everyone can handle it, so it sorted my friends pretty quickly, especially because I teach about pegging. The remaining group of my friends, acquaintances, and people who have been helped by what I put out there in the world tend to be people who share more deeply, are more open, less judgmental, and more accepting than most people. I call those people my tribe, and I love them all. I have always known that I'm just fine. I'm on the right side of this sex-negative charade. I don't need reassurance about any of that, despite knowing I'm absolutely in the right place doing the right thing in this life. I have to say that sometimes it's really fucking hard. Spiritually, I do believe that there is a grand plan of sorts, although I'm not sure who's in charge. But whoever is in charge, at times I try to embrace a positive reframe of my situation by thinking that this particular wave of sex educators who are doing their awesome sex-positive thing right here and right now in whatever form that takes were chosen by the person in charge because we are strong-ass motherfuckers. We have to be. Things could change tomorrow. Why else would we do this? Seriously. The pay sucks. I'm expected and constantly asked to teach for free and write articles with all my expertise for nothing. If I am paid, it's a token payment to pay for my gas and cover my costs. Payment as a sex educator never truly represents your knowledge and worth, except for the top 2% perhaps, and even they struggle sometimes. Also, you have to deal with an automatic alienation from a large portion of the population, the sex negative portion. These are the people who think that sex is not a topic that should be talked about in public, and sometimes not even in the bedroom. Sometimes these are people who think sex is for procreation only. You know, the ones that masturbate like crazy, have large hidden porn collections, and patronize sex workers. Dating is also difficult as a sex educator. My ability to be clear about what I want and talk easily about taboo topics is either too intimidating, or I find myself constantly facilitating. Or I'm automatically assumed to be down to fuck. None of these offer the cozy union or unions that I seek. And lastly, there's no safe harbor for my work. And that's what's happening right now. There is no safe harbor. I can hang with the difficulty of dating the people who don't want to have anything to do with me because actually I don't want to have anything to do with them either. And I can deal with the struggle to pay the bills because I love what I do and I'm helping people, a lot of people. This is my path and my passion, and yet, there is no safe harbor. I thought I'd found a safe harbor in Patreon. I was reluctant to sign up when I saw that they used PayPal, who is notorious for censorship. They reassured me they had lobbied PayPal hard for adult content providers and had reached an understanding. And you all know what happened with Patreon. And you know, the Patreon story was predicted. This is a pattern we adult content creators are quite familiar with. Platforms welcome us with open arms, we get comfortable, and then there is a slow, persistent increase in censorship until all our content is banned and we have to find somewhere else to set up shop. This happens over and over again. YouTube channels of sex educators have been completely pulled down with no explanation and no warning. And these were YouTube channels that were completely educational with no nudity. The pattern has been going on for a long time. And now, with Cestafosta, it's gotten much worse. Add to that the consolidation of companies. For example, Verizon bought Yahoo, who bought Tumblr, and the rules are definitely changing. Tumblr and Facebook just caved. Links to the specifics are in the Linkorama. In fact, I've given you many, many links about censorship, pretty much all recent, and written by a wide variety of people. It seems like the war on Eros is in full swing. And let's be clear here. This is not just a war on sex trafficking and prostitution. This is a war on all things sexual. Sex education for our youth has been impacted. Young people really need good sex education to better understand their roles, their responsibilities, and the potential pleasures in owning their sexuality. Sex education for our youth is so, so important and sadly neglected in this country. I can't speak for other countries, but the United States does a piss-poor job of preparing young adults to enter the world as a sexually healthy being. Too often young adults default to porn because it's so ubiquitous. As many fans of pegging know, porn distorts real-world sex. Parents often don't do any better at educating their young adults, oftentimes because the modeling they had was even worse. Some parents still believe that not talking about sex is the best choice. Also, communities of marginalized group have been impacted. Whether because of sexual orientation, gender identification, or sexual kinks, where I qualify, Tumblr and the book both provided places for like-minded people to congregate and know that there were others like them and not feel so alone. These groups were places to explore themselves and learn about themselves without being judged or scorned. The impending censorship is basically destroying all of those communities. And more. Erotic art and photography has been impacted as well. As photographer Michael Stokes discovered, the censorship is heavily weighted to the straight male gaze. In other words, it's being applied quite unevenly against nude males and any evidence of homosexuality, which is interesting in and of itself. Zuckerberg, in a phone call transcript, said in part this, "We're working on reducing the spread of sensational and provocative content. Social networks face a big challenge that people naturally engage with more sensational content. And this isn't unique. We certainly see this with cable news and tabloids too. But in our systems, what we see is that as content gets closer to the line of what is prohibited by our community standards, we see people tend to engage with it more. Interestingly, this seems to be true regardless of where we set our policy lines. A lot of our work is about addressing this basic incentive problem to ensure that borderline content that doesn't quite violate our policies, but is close, gets less distribution and not more. We're doing this across all our systems, from reducing information on newsfeed to the recommendations that we make for groups and pages. And addressing this basic incentive problem will create a virtuous cycle by reducing sensationalism. We're going to create a healthier, less polarized discourse where more people will feel safe participating." Whew, boy. Okay, so have any of you ever heard of the movie Pleasantville? Let me read you this little blurb on it from IMDb. "Impressed by high school student David's devotion to a 1950s family TV show, a mysterious television repairman provides him with a means to escape into the black and white program with his sister Jennifer. While David initially takes to the simplistic, corny world of the show, Jennifer sets about jolting the characters with doses of reality that unexpectedly bring a little color into their drab existence." So what it seems like to me is that Facebook kind of intends to turn our experience into a black and white, bland experience of a 1950s family TV show. And look, I know the book has a lot more to deal with than just sex educators, erotic artists, porn purveyors, and sex workers. The sheer numbers have caused them to be problematic and unwieldy on many, many levels, to be sure. But in this little slice of reality that I have found such passion and joy, watching it be systematically dismantled and discriminated against is quite upsetting. When I think about all the letters I've received telling me that what I put out in the world helped them truly embrace their sexuality and let go of the inherent shame so obscenely wrapped around sexuality in this country, it tells me that we need more of this type of thing, not less. We need more acceptance, more support, more encouragement, more information, and especially more celebrating of whatever safe, consensual, sexy thing you enjoy that frosts your particular cake. Because when you own your sexuality and embrace it, that is indeed cause for celebration. Wouldn't that be a cool thing if, say, amongst your group of friends, you had celebrations around sexuality, like discovering that you love spanking and having a party to celebrate that you discovered an exciting new facet of your erotic experience. This is the world I dream of, not a world where any mention or image of sexuality is automatically seen as bad by all social platforms. This is fucking up so many people and providing so much business to therapists, sex-positive therapists, anyway. I'm going to read to you my very first post from this blog. My very first one in 2010. Partly because I want you to hear the excitement of it, the positive attitude, the thrill of finally stepping into doing what I wanted to. Watching the crimson clouds of the sunset decorating the sky outside my window, at long last I ask myself the question it has taken me years to consider. What better job is there than writing about sex? Sex in all its warm, wet lusciousness and hard, quivering pleasure. Erotica has always been the furtive lover I held close to my curves during steamy evening tete-a-tetes, but lacked the courage to embrace and caress in the brightness of day. Relegated to a dark drawer for many years, my stories, all hot and bothered, waited impatiently for me to ask that question. Today, I finger my way to the back of the filing cabinet and tease out my collection of tantalizing tales, each like a ripe mango offering juicy sweetness and tart surprise, needing only a sharp knife to expose the treasure. My pen is my knife now, and the dark drawer has been conquered. I caress the pages, stroking them, tweaking them, until they gasp and moan under the bold strokes of my pen. I apologize to them with my attentions. Some years ago, I told someone close to me that I wanted to write erotica. Admittedly, my choice of who to divulge this information to was not a well-thought-out one. The response I received went something like this. Really? I always thought that people who wrote erotica were sort of like people who did porn movies because they couldn't make it acting in real movies. That if you could be a real writer, why would you write erotica? Now, let me reply to that comment, if for no other reason than my own joy in having come full circle back to the pulsing, passionate, sweaty messiness and intrigue of sex-filled tales, and knowing without a doubt that this is where I belong. Erotica is the sublime seductress of the literary world. Erotica has an absolute juiciness that no other genre does. There is a profound intimacy in knowing my words have the power to conjure up images that fill readers with hard, wet hungers which demand release. Just the thought of that brings a warm tingle to my nether regions. I believe the world needs more sexiness, and of course more erotica. The world needs extra-large erotica sections in libraries and bookstores where readers fidget in their chairs. The world needs erotic book club meetings guaranteed to spice up coffee shops and living rooms. And the world definitely needs lovers reading spicy stories aloud to each other as they share that extra glass of wine after dinner, still sitting at the table. The dishes are ignored as, inspired, they create erotica of their own. So, I offer you my erotica. My stories explore the cravings, the desires, the kinks, the pain, the pleasure, and the longing. They're designed to make you gasp, squirm, and wonder. Come along for the ride. So that was my very first blog post, and it's been quite a ride so far. And it seems we've hit a patch of rough roads here. I'm going to keep on doing what I do. I'm going to keep unabashedly celebrating sexuality in all its amazing, curious, and delightful manifestations. What can you do? You can support the sex-positive people who had made a difference in your life, who have contributed positively to your experience as a healthy sexual being. Support the people who are trying hard to hold on to and provide a foundation of sex positivity amidst all of this. Support them with words and with funds if you are able. Sex educators, erotic artists, erotic photographers, writers of erotica, and sex workers, which includes strippers, cam workers, traditional sex workers, sexual body workers, sexual surrogates, adult film actors, and people who offer online adult content like photos and clips. Also try to support those who have been swept up in this slash and burn mentality. Massage therapists, cuddle professionals, LGBTQ groups, marginalized communities having anything to do with sexuality, basically. Many have lost their places to congregate and be a part of a group who understands them and doesn't judge them. There's been so much loss in the sex-positive communities right now. You can also call out sex-negative attitudes wherever and whenever you come across them. Sex is normal. Sex is okay. Never forget that. Know it in your mind, in your heart, and in your body. Live it, speak it, embody it, and be it. I remain hopeful that we will persist and we will prevail. And the generations that come after us will speak of us with respect and a touch of reverence for fighting the good fight when it was such a difficult fight. Here are all the places you can find me if some of the larger social platforms end up kicking me off for talking about cocks and asses and all that good stuff. On Twitter, I am Ruby_Writer. On Facebook, I am Ruby Writer. On Reddit, I'm Ruby Writer. On FetLife, I am Ruby_Writer. And then I also have my two websites, Pegging Paradise and Pegging 101. And assuming that the hosts of those websites don't swing the censorship hammer down, I will absolutely have that. And if that happens, I'll find another place to host them. And now I'm going to read you just specific paragraphs and pieces that I copied from some of the many, many articles that I link to. This one's about Facebook. Given the rules' focus on sexual interests and activities, it's easy to imagine who would be the easiest targets. Sex workers, including those who work lawfully, members of the LGBTQ community, and others who congregate online to discuss issues relating to sex. What makes the policy so dangerous to those communities is that it forbids the very things they gather online to discuss. And this one's about Tumblr. This is not the first time a social media or blog platform has banned adult content. Twitter, Facebook, and many other platforms all prohibit pornography. But in the United States, we seem to ignore public debate about the censorship of sex and the human body. Reflecting the American tendency to get more offended by the sight of a female presenting nipple than by guns, hate speech, or violence. So we're talking about a kind of cultural genocide on the open internet, one comprised of women, LGBTQ people, artists, educators, bloggers, filmmakers, sex workers, abuse survivors, untold communities, and tons of photographers and models. For me, Tumblr was the only place to find the blogs of black erotic photographers whose empowering work is arguably more needed in the world than ever. This rich collection of humanity and community living authentically and unashamedly in the quest for life-affirming sex positivity will be snuffed out at infancy in approximately 10 days. Instagram goose steps for Facebook's censors. Amazon buries sex books. Patreon, Cloudflare, PayPal, and Square are among many which are tacitly unsafe for anyone whose business comes near sexuality. Google's sex censorship timeline is bad, and YouTube is worse. Here's the statement from Zuckerberg. The approach that I outlined in this note focuses on a few strategies. First, we're moving from reactive to proactive enforcement of our community standards. That means we're building AI systems that can identify potentially harmful content much faster, often before anyone sees it, and we're building a much larger team of reviewers to handle it. In more straightforward cases like spam or nudity, our AI system can remove bad content or accounts automatically. And then harder, more nuanced issues like hate speech or bullying, these systems generally flag posts for people on our team to review. Second, and this is the part that I read to you before on my piece for my blog, working on reducing the spread of sensational and provocative content, right? Ending with the really scary statement of, we're going to create a healthier, less polarized discourse where more people will feel safe participating. Third, we're focusing on giving people more control over what they see. Ultimately, we believe that people are better judges of what they want to see than we are. As we develop the AI systems to identify what content means what, we want to give people more control. And it's possible that down the road, these controls may even allow us to have more flexible standards for things like nudity, where cultural norms are different around the world. But that's down the line. Fourth, we're building a much more robust appeals process. We have a team of about 30,000 people today who work hard to enforce our policies, but many of these judgments require some nuance. For example, to determine if a post violates our hate speech standards, a reviewer might need to determine if the post is using a racial slur to condemn the slur or using it to attack someone. And as I mentioned in my note, our reviewers make a fair number of mistakes, and how we handle them is very important, as the EFF and others pointed out earlier this week. That's the Electronic Frontier Foundation, for those of you who don't know that acronym. We started building out a content appeals process this year. This has already helped us correct a significant number of errors. And our next step is to let anyone appeal a decision on content they reported and get a clear explanation of why it did or did not violate our standards. Fifth, in working through all these different content issues, I have come to believe that we shouldn't be making so many important decisions about free expression and safety on our own. We've been talking to people about this for some time now, and I've spoken to many experts myself, starting in the summer, and today we're announcing that we're creating a new independent body that people will be able to appeal to that will have the authority to determine whether content should come up or stay down. There's still a number of important questions to work through here, and we're working on establishing this independent oversight body in the next year. Finally, we're also very focused on increasing transparency so our community can measure our progress over time. We started issuing transparency and enforcement reports on how we're doing proactively, enforcing our community standards, how much harmful content people are seeing, how much content we're taking down, and so on. Over the next year, we're going to instrument our system so that we can issue these transparency reports quarterly, and then we'll do conference calls to discuss the results. And I think it's important that we have the same cadence for this as we do for reporting our financial results, because this work is just as important for the mission of the company. Those are some of the highlights from the note. So that is a transcript of a phone call that Mark Zuckerberg had with a whole bunch of press people, and then they asked questions afterwards. You can find that on the internet, and I have put a link to it in my Linkorama. It is a PDF that you need to download. Facebook's statement was this, and these are all under Do Not Post. Attempts to coordinate or recruit for adult sexual activities, such as filmed sexual activities, pornographic activities, and erotic dances or massages. Explicit sexual solicitation, which is defined as offering or asking for sex or sex partners, sex chats or conversations, and nude images. Implicit sexual solicitation, which is defined as a mention of a sexual act along with at least one of the following suggestive elements. Vague suggestive statements such as looking for a good time tonight, sexualized slang, sexual hints such as mention of sexual roles, positions, or fetish scenarios, content, hand-drawn, digital, or real-world art that may depict explicit sexual activity or suggestively posed persons. That's all under suggestive elements. Then it goes on to say, offers or requests for other adult activities such as commercial pornography or partners who share sexual fetish interests. And lastly, sexually explicit language that goes beyond mere naming or mentioning a state of sexual arousal or an act of sexual intercourse. Holy crap! This is really, really, really restrictive. And as one of the articles that I've linked to points out, this sets up a horrendous situation for the trolls. The really intensely sex-negative trolls out there can just go and report and report and report and basically cause someone's Facebook page to go down pretty quickly for just about anything. So there's that, but I'm still rather flummoxed by how I am going to talk about sexuality without using sexually explicit language that goes beyond mere naming or mentioning a state of sexual arousal or an act of sexual intercourse. Oh my gosh. So yeah, wow. And here is Tumblr's statement. It's question and answers that they provide both for. Is adult content allowed on Tumblr? Starting December 17th, adult content will not be allowed on Tumblr, regardless of how old you are. You can read more about what kinds of content are not allowed on Tumblr in our community guidelines. If you spot a post that you don't think belongs on Tumblr, period, you can report it. From the dashboard or in search results, tap or click the share menu at the bottom of the post and hit report. What is adult content? Adult content primarily includes photos, videos, or GIFs that show real-life human genitals or female-presenting nipples, and any content, including photos, videos, GIFs, and illustrations, that depict sex acts. What is still permitted? Examples of exceptions that are still permitted are exposed female-presenting nipples in connection with breastfeeding, birth or afterbirth moments, and health-related situations, such as post-mastectomy or gender confirmation surgery. Written content, such as erotica, nudity related to political or newsworthy speech, and nudity found in art, such as sculptures and illustrations, are also stuff that can be freely posted on Tumblr. So that is just a couple of sections of the salient points on their new policy over at Tumblr. So I apologize for the scatteredness, if you will, of all of these things that I've presented to you. I've pulled them all together from a wide variety of places because I kept finding more and more and more people who were writing right now, not articles from years ago or last month or 6 months ago, about what's happening with the censorship. And I don't feel like I've pulled it together in as cohesive of a manner as I usually do, but I just wanted to get it all out there and talk to you about what's happening. The Tumblr sites that are going away, these are places that I have curated pictures from for a long time for my blog. So let me give you a list of all the places that you can go to find these sorts of pictures that I have curated pictures from all these years, because you might want to make one more trip down memory lane for an awesome masturbatory session before it all goes away, and also to find out where these people might be migrating to, because a lot of times I believe that they're listing this on their Tumblr site directly. So these are the places I pull pictures from. Bend Over Boyfriend, Bent Over Husband, also Gustos Extremos, GUSTOSEXTREMOS. That is a Tumblr site that's got some pretty hot stuff on it. Paris Cowboy, I've pulled a lot of pictures from Paris Cowboy. Pegging with a Smile is an excellent one. Ripe for the Pegging is another one. Sensual Pegging is the winner of all time. I feel so bad that this guy's site is going down. We had mutual links to each other's sites, and we shared that tagline, changing the world one ass at a time. He has a great body of work there, Sensual Pegging. I hope that he is moving it somewhere and preserving it. Strap-on Girl, Strap-ons, plural. I believe that's the last one, yes. So those are all the Tumblr sites that I have been frequenting over the years to bring you those lovely pictures of amazingly awesome people doing their pegging thing. So take a look around and check out the ones that you want to follow and see where they're migrating to and if they're migrating somewhere. These are the ones that have been talked about on Facebook, and it's probably just a partial list, and be advised that I have not vetted or checked into any of these very much at all. BDSMLR.com, MeWe, like spelled MEWE.com, ShareSome, just like it sounds, SHARESOME.com, Swarmer, SWARMR.com, and ELLO.co for that one. The only one that I've noticed something about was ShareSome, because I had a discussion about that on my Facebook page. I posted an open letter from ShareSome that was posted directed to the CEO of Tumblr, basically saying, hey, everybody, come on over to the place where you're welcome to be exactly who you are. And oh, by the way, not if you are a hate-filled Nazi, because we don't put up with that shit. It was a pretty forceful letter, and it was awesome, and it attracted a fair amount of attention. But then someone on this thread mentioned, yeah, well, you might want to look at their terms and conditions, because there are some concerning things in there. And there was a thing in the terms of conditions about basically whatever you post there, they can use it and they can do whatever they want with it and they can make money off of it. Well, yeah, FetLife has that too. When you put stuff up publicly on the internet, that's kind of what happens. And they just want to make it legal by saying that. But also, there's this really weird thing in ShareSome where you scroll down and it says you have to be single or legally separated from your domestic partner to have an account there. And it's like, what the fuck, people? So I actually wrote them. I found a way to contact them and I wrote their support email and said, why is this here? And how do you define that in this day and age? And what is the purpose? And I got a very quick response from someone who said, simply, the terms and conditions were drafted by our legal team. We are working with them to have this clause removed. If you have any further questions, just reply to this email. It's like, okay. But in all honesty, all of these different sites that I mentioned seem to have their advantages and disadvantages, their strengths and their weaknesses. So navigate them with caution and do your homework. And good luck in tracking down the porn that you have come to know and love from the producers that put out there exactly what you love. One of the things that you may not be aware of that I wanted to point out is that this deadline that Tumblr set for everybody to take down their adult stuff and they're going to start censoring everything, December 17th. Guess what happens on December 17th? December 17th is the International Day to End Violence Against Sex Workers. It's observed annually every December 17th by sex workers, their advocates, friends, families, and allies. Is this a coincidence that Tumblr decided that they're going to fuck with the sexual stuff on December 17th? Many of the people in the sex worker industry absolutely do not think so. They think it was quite intentional. Nonetheless, there you have it. So, let me end this podcast on a more positive note. I want to share something with you that I found that I think is really cool. Actually, several things. The first is a video. And this video is made by the ANZ, which is the Australia New Zealand Bank. And they have a couple of videos that they put out there. And one is hashtag hold tight. And it's basically addressing gay couples in public, how much they fear holding hands in public. And it's like a public service announcement to not feel bad to hold hands in public. Thus the hashtag hold tight, right? So there's the video that was made and put out there in the public, and the ANZ Bank also supports Auckland Pride and a bunch of different stuff like that. They're very strong supporters, apparently, of the LGBTQ community. But there's also a really cool video of the staff of ANZ, some people who were brave enough to go on camera and basically talk about what it's like to be with someone of the same gender in public and have fear and concern about what will happen if you hold hands. And it's poignant and heartbreaking, really. And so hashtag hold tight. Yes, that's pretty cool. And I guess it struck me because it's just a reflection of what we as a bigger picture in terms of being sex positive people deal with in reaction to people reading things, seeing things, hearing things that they deem not okay in their world. There is that same level of discrimination, although perhaps not so laser-focused to the LGBT community. Anyhow, it's always wonderful to see a big organization really stepping forth and making a statement that, no, this is really all okay, people. Another thing that made me very happy recently was that I purchased a calendar for the new year, and my usual thing to do is what I did this year, which is to try and find a hunky guy calendar, absolutely. And a friend of mine sent me a link to the Australian Firefighters calendar. And do you know that there's three different ones to choose from? And they're not that expensive. I'm going to put a link in the Linkorama. So that came the other day. So now I've got the hunky guy to hang on the wall. And I am kind of old school that way. I really do like having a calendar hanging up to refer to. It helps me out. It helps me keep sort of, I don't know, clued into what day it is, what part of the week it is, that kind of stuff. So yes, that made me very happy. I hung that up today. Also, one of the things that made me happy is connected to one of those articles. The Michael Stokes work is amazing. So I put a link to his work in the Linkorama as well. He wrote one of the articles about censorship because he's experienced some really bizarre censorship that shows just how divided it is and how it is not being enforced equally across the board. Okay, I think we're done. Again, this is a bit of a scattered podcast, but I hope that you got something out of it and have faith that the podcast will continue on time. Next Monday will be when it will be posted for my patrons and Tuesday for public consumption, and we'll be back to your letters. And because I have had the privilege of seeing these in advance, like I always do, I have to tell you, there's at least one pegging celebration time in there. So tune in next Monday and get out there and support the sex-positive people in this world any way that you can. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Also, you can find my work at pegging101.com, where I provide informational pegging articles only with no kink attached. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, and you can find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you want to. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page for as long as it lasts. If you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. And please send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too sensorial, too critical, or too crazy. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. And before I say those last few lines and sign off, I am also going to tell you that, wow, you people bought a lot of stuff last month. I had the best month ever. So, as a treat, you know what I bought myself? The Liberator Ramp. Woohoo! So yes, stay tuned for more news about that. I hope to give you that news sooner rather than later. It all depends on when I can get a nice handsome man in my bed. Or perhaps on the floor with the ramp, right? Perhaps all kinds of different places. Anyway, thank you all so much for downloading and listening. You rock. Happy pegging.